Amid Gimel Amid Beis, the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss the actual sounds of the Shofar. You know, what is a Tekiya, what's a Teruah, what's a Tekiya, Shvarim, and so on. So the Mishnah says, say the Tekiyas, and by the way, this Mishnah is not necessarily according to Halacha. We'll see later in the Gemara, how the Gemara explains the Mishnah. So it says, say the Tekiyas, Shalish, Shal, Shalish, Shalish. There's three sets of three sounds each, meaning Teruah, Tekiya, Tekiya. And the Gemara is going to learn this out from a Pasuk, that biblically, what you have to blow is a Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya, three times. Am I coming? Teruah, Tekiya, Tekiya, three times. Shir Tekiya, how long is the sound of a Tekiya go for? Kishalish Teruahs, like three Teruahs. And this is not going to be according to Halacha. Shir Teruah, how long is the Teruah? Kishalish Yevavis, like three whimpers. In other words, let me explain this before we even get into the Gemara. We should have a general understanding what's going on. 1 second. The Torah doesn't discuss Tekiya, Shvarim, Teruah, Tekiya. The Gemara is going to explain. The Torah uses the word Teruah three times. And because the Torah uses the word Teruah three times, we learn out you have to do three Teruahs. Now, the Gemara is going to learn out from a Pasuk, or from Sukkim, that before and after each Teruah, you need what we call a Tekiya, a simple, long voice. You know, it's the long one. So therefore, based on all these Sukkim, we learn that you need to have a Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya three times. As the Gemara is going to explain a little bit, we don't know what is a Teruah mean. We don't know what is a Teruah. Now we call a Teruah tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu. That's what we call it, whimpers. Okay, that's what we call a Teruah. Some opinions in the Gemara say, no, it's a moaning sign. Not a crying sign, it's a moaning, groaning sign. How does a person moan and groan? They go, they kvetch, you know, what we call shvarim. If it's a crying sound, if you ever listen to people cry, you go, do, 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 do. One opinion says it's both together. So because there's three opinions, and because of as Halacha says, because of the extended time of Golus, people actually forgot what it really is. So therefore, according to Halacha, we blow all of them. We blow Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya three times. Tekiya, Shvarim, Teruah, that means Tekiya three times. And Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya three times. Why don't we just blow, and this I'm just adding to it, why don't we just blow Tekiya, Shvarim, Teruah, Tekiya three times and you got everything covered? Because the Halacha is, you can't have a separation between the Teruah and the Tekiya. And as the Tekiya has to precede the Teruah, whatever it is, and it has to follow the Teruah. Now, if the real definition of Teruah is what we call Shvarim, then between the Shvarim and the second Tekiya, you have a Teruah, which is wrong. And the same thing vice versa. So therefore, according to what we do, we blow everything together. But the Gemara is going to learn this out now from Sukkim. How do we know all this? So the Mishnah says as follows. Say the Tekiyas and Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Say the Tekiyas Shalish and Shalish Shalish. Like we started in the Mishnah, there's three sets of Tekiyah Teruah Tekiyah. The amount of a Tekiyah is like three Teruahs. Tekiyah Teruah is Kishalish Yevavis. Three cryings. Okay? Now, Taka B'Dishayna, what happens if a guy blew a Tekiya in the first set? Or Moshech B'Shniyan continued into the second set, Kishtayim, as long as two, Ein B'Yadi Ala'achas, it's only counted as one. Meaning as follows. At the end of the first set, okay, let's say you blow Tekiya Shvarim Teruah Tekiya. Now, you want to, so you end off with the first set with a Tekiya. The second set, it's wrong. It's 66. The second set begins with a tkiya. You know what? We're going to get. Okay, if you look on 281. Same thing. No, it's not. 281. Which English do you have? The new ones? Okay. Now, if you look in the middle of the page, they have Tekiah Shvarim through a Tekiah. Okay? Then you start again with a Tekiah. Now, what happens if a guy blew a very long Tekiah that's as long as two? Can that Tekiah be counted as the end Tekiah and the beginning Tekiah together? And as you blow Tekiah Shvarim through a Tekiah, the long one, right? And then again you start with a tekiah. So the question is, what happens if a guy blew a very long tekiah, long enough for two? Can that be counted as the end tekiah and as the beginning tekiah also? So the Mishnah says, if you did that, it only counts as one. Because you need to break it. And if you just blow a long one, even though it's good enough for long enough for two, it's still only counted as one. Because it has to be a separate tekiah. Then the Gemara says, the Mishnah continues, Misha Beirach, what happens if somebody daven Shemon Esrei? Meaning, normally you blow Shofar before Musaf. What happens if somebody didn't have a Shofar? So they daven Musaf. After Musaf, they got a Shofar. The din is, Tekeya Umariya, V'tekeya, he blows the tekiah through a tekiah shalish pamim three times. Meaning, he doesn't have to repeat what the Mishnah is saying basically. You don't have to repeat the Shemon Esrei, you just blow after the Shemon Esrei. That's what the Mishnah is saying. And then it says, Kshem sheshliach tzibur chayiv, just like that, the chazan is obligated to say the Shemon Esrei, kach yachid v'yachid. Chayiv, every individual is also obligated to say the Shemona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Gamliel Eimer, Shliach Tzibur Meiti Yisrael Rabbi Midei Chayvasei. Rabbi Gamliel says that the Chazan could daven for everybody. In other words, to explain this concept, why does the Chazan repeat the Shemona Esrei? I mean, everybody davens. What do you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei for? B'chlal, whatever. Twice a day, Shachar Semincha, the Chazan repeats the Shemona Esrei. So the answer is, because in the olden times, as we know, they didn't have Siddurim. Many people were completely illiterate in Torah, and they didn't know how to daven. But davening is an obligation to daven twice a day, Shachris and Mincha. So therefore, the Chazan would say the Shemon Esrei out loud, and the people that didn't know how to daven would listen. And by listening and answering Amen and not talking, so it was like they said it. Just like Kiddush. If you hear Kiddush, it's like you said Kiddush. So when they listen to the Shemon Esrei, it's like they said the Shemon Esrei. But a person that knew how to daven, was not allowed to listen to from the Chazan. They had to daven. The question is, what's with the Rosh Hashanah Shemon Esrei? It's a very long one. So the Chachamim hold the first opinion, say that if you know how to daven, the Chazan can't do it for you. Just like the Chazan has to daven, every individual has to daven. Rabbi Gamaliel says that the Chazan could do it for anybody, even a guy who knows how to daven. Okay? And as the Mefarshim explained, we'll see later in the Gemara, that this argument is really not only in Rosh Hashanah, but the argument is in every Shemon Esrei. Can a guy who knows how to daven just listen from the Chazan and that's it? Rabbi Gamliel says yes, and the Chachamim say no. No, it's here. Okay, now the Gemara says, the Gemara asks a question. In the Mishnah, it said that how long is a tekiah? Our Mishnah says a tekiah is like the length of three truas. Three tututus. So the Vatanya, the Gemara asked a question. We learned in a braisa, shir tkiya kitrua, that the length of a tkiya is like one trua. And our Mishnah says it's like three truas. So Amar Abaya says no. I'll tell you, it's they're not arguing, they're just speaking differently. What does it mean? He says, Tana didan, our Tana of the Mishnah, kachashiv tkiya de kula bava. He counts the tkiya of the whole set, utruas de kula bava, and the true of the whole set. Meaning, he says, the length of the three tkiyas are as long as the three truas. But he's not speaking about each individual tkiya. In other words, our Tana also agrees a tkiya is the length of a trua. But our Tana says three because he's talking about the set. The three tkiyas have to be as long as the three truas. But how long is it each tkiya individually? One trua. Like the Brisa says. Our Mishnah says the tkiya is three truas because he's talking about all three tekiyas together have to be the length of three truas together. Tana brada, Tana of the Braisa, kachashiv chad bava vesulai. He's counting only one case, one tekiya, one trua, so therefore he says it has to be as long as one. Then the Mishnah continues and said, shir trua, how long is a trua? Kesholish yavavas, like three whimpers. Like two. Okay? But Tanya, so it says, the Gemara asks a question, but shir terua kishleisha shvarim. The length of a terua is like three shvarim. So how could you say that the terua is three whimpers when the Braisa says it has to be three shvarim? Now, shvarim is two, right? Now, the Braisa says that the trua has to be as long as three shvarim. And our Mishnah says the trua has to be only three whimpers. Now, a shvarim is longer than a whimper. A whimper, too. A shvarim is two. So our Mishnah says a trua has to be three, two. And the Braisa says it has to be as long as two. So it's much longer. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye answers as follows. Bahai Vadi Pligi. This is for sure an argument. In other words, our Mishnah and Braisa are not agreeing. They're definitely arguing. What's the argument? It says in the Pasuk about blowing Shefer, Yein Trua Yiyalachem. It should be a day of Trua, of blowing. Umetargaminan, and Targum says, what does Trua mean? It translates it in Aramaic as Yom Yevava Yehei. It should be a day of Yevava. That's the Aramaic for Trua. Uksiv Be'ema de Sisra. And it says about the mother of Sisra in Tanakh. It says, Ba'ada Chalei Nishkofa. She was looking out the window. V'tayabev Eim Sisra. And the mother of Sisra cried. So we say as follows. Trua is translated by Targum as Yevava. In Tanakh we see the word Yevava means crying. So obviously what does the word Trua mean? Crying. Okay? So therefore it doesn't mean moaning. Like Shvarim is It means tu. Like your person cries. So Marsava, one opinion says the Braisa holds meaning. Genuchi Gonach. That Yevava doesn't mean she cried. It means she moaned. Well, Marzavar and the Ar Mishnah holds, Yalula Yalo, that she was actually crying. So in other words, like we said before, there's partially an argument, what is the word Trua mean? For sure the Torah says you have to blow a Trua, Yom Trua. The question is Trua moaning, which what we call Shvarim, or is what we call trua, which is crying. So that's the argument, the definition of a trua. Does it mean three moanings, or does it mean three cryings?
The way we move yourself out of shake the hand, and it sounded like maybe when someone cried.
That's the way. The whole concept of a trua, like we said, is yavava, which means crying. So therefore, when you blow a trua, it sounds like somebody's crying. Well, the length is all not according to halacha yet. So far, everything the Gemara is going to change things, but this is not according to halacha, because according to halacha, the tkiya has to be as long as the trua of that set, which means as follows: when you moan, we do three moanings. What's a shvarim? Two, 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 right? Now each moan is supposed to be as long as three truas, two to two. Okay? The trua, we blow nine truas, minimal. You can blow more, but you have to blow minimal nine. Why? Because the trua is the same size as the shvarim, the same length. The shvarim, it's three moanings. The trua is a bunch of cryings. Now each crying, there's three cryings per moan. So if you have a shvarim, it's three moans. Tu, tu, tu. So a true is tu, 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 tu. Right? Now, how long does the tkiya have to be? According to halacha, which is not what the Gemara is discussing now, the tkiya has to be as long as what that trua is. That means, in the first set, when we blow shvarim trua together as the sound, so the tkiya has to be longer, because it has to be the size of a shvarim together with the trua. In the set of shvarim, it has to be as long as the three moanings. In the trua, it has to be as long as the nine cryings, which is basically the same size, the same amount. But the original tkiya, in the first set, when we have shvarim trua together, it has to be double. It has to be a longer tkiya. Now the Gemara is going to learn out from where do we know you need to have tkiya, terua, whatever true is, we don't know. But how do you know that you need tkiya, terua, tkiya? Because if you look in Chumash, all the Torah says is Yom Terua, a day of terua. How do we know you need to blow three teruas and the tkiya before and after each one? So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Tan Rabbanan learned. Minayin shebishayfar. How do we know that the trua applies to the sound of a shofar? B'chlal, how do you know shofar has to be trua? Talmud Lomer, because it says in the pasuk, by the jubilee year, when they blow shofar on Yom Kippur in the jubilee year, it says, v'havarta shofar trua. You should pass, okay? You shall sound the shofar blast of a trua. So you see, by Yovel, Shofar blows the trua. Now, Ainli ala b'Yovel. This only teaches me in the Jubilee year. But Rosh Hashanah, meaning, how do I know every Rosh Hashanah? The Shofar has to blow trua. Talmud Leimer, it says in the Pasuk, b'Chodesh HaShvi, that it has to be in the seventh month. The Rosh Hashanah is in the seventh month, which is Tishrei. So it says, She'ein Talmud Leimer b'Chodesh HaShvi, the Torah doesn't have to tell us the seventh month, because we know that Yom Kippur is in the seventh month. It's another pasuk already that says that. Why does the Torah by Yovel say an extra Bechodesh Hashvi to teach me she'il kol teruah shel Chodesh Shvi zeh kozeh, that all the blowings of the seventh month should be the same type of blowing? Meaning as follows. And the Jubilee year, in the Yovel year, we blow Shofar, the Torah says, and Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry, Yom Kippur. That's when all the slaves became free and all the land went back to its original owners. So on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, they blew Shofar. Over there, the Torah says, Shofar Trua. When does the Torah say to blow it? In the Jubilee year, on Yom Kippur. Everybody knows from different psukim when Yom Kippur is. Why by the Yovel year does the Torah again tell us that Yom Kippur is in the seventh month? So the Gemara learns out from there that is teaching us from the extra words that every blowing that's done in the seventh month have to be similar. Which means, just like by Yovel Yom Kippur, the Torah says you blow Shofar Teruah. So it means Rosh Hashanah, whenever you blow Shofar, you need to blow with the Shofar a Teruah. That's what we learn now. What? Yeah. No. Shemitah Yovel starts from Tishrei. If you know, even today, just in, there's no Yovel today, but Shemitah, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, when they can't plant the fields, that begins Tishrei to Tishrei. And the same thing Yovel is from Tishrei to Tishrei. Because there's two aspects in the calendar. In the Jewish calendar, there's two parts. There's the monthly part, and there's the yearly part. Months start from Nisan. Years, like we know, we don't change 5763 to 64 on Pesach. Right? When does it become 5764? Rosh Hashanah. Because years, we start when Adam Rishon was created. That's when the world started, so to speak. Months, we began by Yitzias Mitzrayim, by the Kanta Achidish Azalochem. So when the Torah is speaking about months, we start Nisan. Years start from Tishrei. So if you talk about a year of Shemitah year, not month, Shemitah year, a Yovel year, it starts from Tishrei. But like the Gemara says, the Torah says, on Yom Kippur of Yovel, you blow Vavarta Shefer Teruah. So the Gemara says, I don't have to tell me again. Again, you have to tell me Yom Kippur is Chodesh Ashri. The Torah should say, on Yom Kippur, finished. So the extra word teaches us, Chodesh Ashri, that every blowing, which is done in the seventh month, meaning Rosh Hashanah every year, Yom Kippur of Yovel, and so on, has to be the same blowing. And if by Yovel the Torah says, Shofar Teruah, that you blow a Teruah, that teaches me by Rosh Hashanah you blow Shofar. Rosh Teruah. Now, Uminayin Shepshuta Lefanel, how do I know you blow a tkiah before the trua? The Torah just says you blow a trua. How do I know you blow a tkiah before the trua? Talmud Lomer, because it says, Vahavarta Shofar Teruah. Meaning, Vahavarta is, like he says, you should pass through. The Torah doesn't just say, blow Shofar Teruah. The Torah says, Vahavarta, pass over. And the Gemara learns Vavarta means a simple blow before. So before the Teruah, you have to do Havara, a simple passing by, through, which means a Tkiah. How do I know that you blow a simple, meaning a Tkiah, after the Teruah? Because afterwards it says Vavarta Shefer, and then again it says Taviru Shefer. So Aviru means a Tkiah. So therefore we learn out, you need to blow a Teruah. From another pasuk we learn out, you blow a Tkiah before it. And from another pasuk we learn out, you blow a Tkiah afterwards. I only know that this has to be done on Yovel. How do I know that Rosh Hashanah minayin? How do I know that every Rosh Hashanah you do it the same way? Talmud Lomer, so the Torah says, V'chedesh HaShvi. Again, the extra seventh month. She'ein Talmud Lomer V'chedesh HaShvi. The Torah wouldn't have to tell us again the seventh month. Why does it teach us the seventh month? That all blowings of the seventh month should be alike. So therefore the Gemara says, very simply, by Yevil we learn out, you have to blow a Teruah. By Yevil we learn out, Vahavarta and Taviru, that you blow a simple one before and after. And then from the Pasuk, Bachedesh Hashvi, it teaches us that it applies also to Rosh Hashanah. Which is very interesting. The whole blowing of Shofar Rosh Hashanah, we learn out from Yovel once every 50 years. But now, so far, we only know that you blow one Tkiah, one Teruah, one Tkiah. The Gemara is going to, how do I know I blow three times, three sets? So the Gemara says, Minayin l'sholish shol sholish sholish. How do I know you blow three sets of Tkiah, Teruah, Tkiah? So Talmud Lomer, the Torah says as follows. It says three times the word Teruah. It says Vavarta Shefer Trua, Shabbosin Zichrin Trua, Yem Trua Yielachem. So the Torah uses the word Trua three times, which teaches us you need to blow three Truas. From the previous Psukim we learned out, each Trua needs one before, one after. So therefore, according to Allah, what do you have to blow on Rosh Hashanah? Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya, Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya, Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya. But like we said before, we just don't know what true is. And because we don't know what true is, you blow all, we blow the Gantz Maisa. Because we don't know what a true is. What?
Well, I mean, I have, sometimes I think of things that aren't supported by tradition whatsoever. But sometimes we say the violin, why did Jews play the violin? Because the violin is the instrument of God. Of course, at that time they didn't have violins. But they had the shofar, which is an instrument apparently which was considered to be an instrument of the God. And it where the Torah
Jews like to cry. Why? Trua doesn't mean crying.
Or moaning.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Right.
But it could be that.
Right.
And it could be that within the Torah, that Trua doesn't necessarily have a musical significance. It would say, and in the other place where you say Shofar Trua, that you should blow Trua on the Shofar, it would mean that you should cry using the Shofar.
Yeah, but then it doesn't, then it would be a crying of the Shofar. Shofar Trua means the Shofar is doing the Trua.
Yeah, it is expressing...
Right, crying. So that means the Shofar is crying.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that Trua expresses has in itself, the word, has anything to do with the actual music necessarily.
Shofar is not exactly a musical instrument. I mean, it's more of a crying instrument.
Okay, whatever it is.
So the Gemara is learning that Trua, as we defined it before, Yavava, which means either moaning or... One opinion says moaning, one opinion says crying. So... The shofar has to sound the trua.
Yeah, does that mean that the shofar is used to make a moaning or crying sound?
Right, right.
But if you consider it that way, then it's not necessarily that trua is a certain length.
Well, the Gemara is learning out, and we didn't finish the Gemara yet. Yeah. The Gemara is going to learn out, how do you know the sounds? You know, yeah. For instance, if somebody goes, doesn't mean they're crying. You go, duh, 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 then they're crying.
Yeah, but the Gemara is
well, this is all given information of Bnei Harsinai. It's just not written.
Yeah,
it was given.
Yeah.
The Gemara was there before. It's just they didn't write it until 1,000 years later.
The Kinnor is not the violin.
Kinnor is a harp.
No, the Kinnor is not a harp.
What's that?
It's a small harp, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Nebel.
But not a violin.
No, they didn't have violins.
What is the Nebel?
Huh?
Nebel.
Nebel is a big harp.
If you look in the Siddur, we say it every day in davening, it translates it. Yeah. Mistake of Shefer. Navel here is defined as a harp and a lyre.
A lyre.
Lyre, whatever.
So the navel was a small one that David held in his lamp, and the metal was
the big one. The big one he had in his bedroom.
Yeah. So we don't know what Trua is actually
Shvarim. Right.
So that
Trua can mean one of three things. Either what we call Shvarim, or what we call Trua, or both together. So because we don't know, you do everything.
But this mixture, Shvarim, is wrong.
Together. One opinion says it's together.
Yeah.
Moaning.
Says it's separate.
Right.
In which case it's good.
Right. Or one opinion says it's moaning separate, which is, I don't know, whatever. Shvarim, you know, is the moaning. True is the crying. But again, like the Gemara is saying, we learn that now from the Pasuk as followed. By Yevil, it says Trua. So we know you have to blow a Trua. Then the Pasuk says you blow one before, one after. Okay, so we know Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya. Then the Gemara says it says three times in Torah the word Trua, which means you blow it three times. So therefore we have to blow Tkiya, Trua, Tkiya three times. But now the question is, what is Trua? Is it moaning and groaning together? I mean, moaning and crying together, which is Shvarim, Trua together, which is the first set? Or is it only a moaning Shvarim? Or is it only crying? So we blow all of them to make sure.
In other words, we are guessing.
Not guessing. Al pi kabbalah, there is a big inyan of each one of them together and separately. Meaning in the revealed part of Torah, Gemara, or Shulchan Aruch, it says they didn't remember. Okay, because of the problems of Golos. They didn't exactly remember. So therefore, in Halachit, so to speak, for the doubt, we blow it off. According to Kabbalah, there's a meaning of Shefer, Truah, and Tkiah, and all those things. It's Taka, 100 sounds of the Shefer we have to blow, according to Kabbalah. You blow 100 sounds of the Shefer during the day of Rosh Hashanah, because each one has that particular meaning. Okay, we're in the middle of this Gemara now, so we're going to start. Uminayin. Three lines in the top. Uminayin, l'sholish, l'sholish. How do we know you need three? Because it says, Avarta Shefer Teruah, Shabbos and Zichrin Teruah, and Yom Teruah Yiyalachem. Okay? So now it says, Uminayin, l'tinus ha'amash, shalzeh bezeh. From where do we learn out? Rosh Hashanah from Yovel. And the world's going to answer differently than before. Before the Gemara answered, because B'chedesh HaShvi is extra, so you put it to Rosh Hashanah. But here he says, Talmud Leimer, it says, Shvi, Shvi, L'gzeder Shava. The Gemara is going to ask, why is the Gemara changing its mind? But now the Gemara says it's L'gzeder Shava, meaning here's a word, there's a word, so we learn out one from the next. What's the L'gzeder Shava? It says, Shvi, Shvi, L'gzeder Shava. By Yevil it says Shvi, and by Rosh Hashanah it says Shvi. Okay, so what does it mean? Shalosh ein teisha. Three, which are nine, meaning Shia Tkiah Ketruah, the length of a Tkiah is like a Truah. Shia Truah, the length of a Truah is Kshalosh Shvarim, like three Shvarim. Okay, so therefore this is what this Mishnah learns, so to speak, that this is the amount of how to blow Shefer. So the Gemara asks a question. Before, we didn't say it was Gzeder Shavi, here Shvi and there Shvi. We said it's extra, so we liken Yovel to Rosh Hashanah. So Gemara says, Hi, Tanami, called a Maisel Be'akesha. First, you learned it out from a Hekesh, that we liken, meaning Rosh Hashanah to Yovel, V'hashta Maisel Be'Gzeder Shavi. And now you want to learn out from Gzeder Shavi. Why do you, it's either a Hekesh or Gzeder Shavi. Why do you need both? So the Gemara answers, not really Hachikama. Ilav Gzeder Shava, even if they wouldn't hold of the Gzeder Shava, have a Maisinala Behekesh, I would need it with a Hekesh anyway. Meaning as follows. You can't make, like we learned in the other Gemara also, you can't make your own Gzeder Shava. What's the concept of a Gzeder Shava? Gzeder Shava is, by this mitzvah the Torah uses this word, and by this mitzvah the Torah uses the same word. The fact that the Torah uses the same word in both, we derive one from the next. That's the way Gzeder Shava works. Obviously, you can't make up your own Gzeder Shava. Here it says Moshe, here it says Moshe. I mean, you can't do that. Gzeder Shava was taught from Moshe Rabbeinu. These words are Gzeder Shava, and these words aren't. You can't make it up. Because if not, the Torah is going to be crazy. Hashem's name is everywhere, so you can make one tater, one big challenge, because Hashem's name is everywhere, so every din is the same din. I mean, you can't do that. So Moshe Rabbeinu taught that Har Sinai, the concept of a Gzeder Shavah, you can't make up your own, the Gemara says. It's either learned or not learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara is saying over here as follows, that even if you don't have this Gzeder Shavah, I would learn it out anyway from the fact that here it says B'chedesh HaShvi, which is extra. Therefore, by Yovel, I don't need it, so we put it to Rosh Hashanah. Because that's another rule in Torah. If I have an extra word somewhere where I don't need it, put it where you couldn't use it. We had that before in the Gemara also by many other dinim. Put it where you do need it. So therefore, if B'chedesh HaShvi teaches me that we liken Yovel to Rosh Hashanah, or rather, Rosh Hashanah to Yovel. Just like by Yovel, you need Truah, and by Yovel you need the three truas, like the three psukim. The same thing we learn out from Rosh Hashanah. Number one, you have to blow a truah. You have to blow a tkiah before and after each truah. Plus, you have to blow three times. That's what the Gemara's conclusion is. Now the Gemara says, "V'hai tana, another tana, Maisel b'gzeira shavim mimidbar. Doesn't even learn it out from Yovel. Up to now we're learning out Rosh Hashanah from Yovel. There's another opinion that says you don't learn it out from Yovel. You learn it out from what happened in the desert. What do you mean in the desert? The Tanya, it says in the Braise, it says in the Pasuk as follows. Uskatem trua. You should blow a trua. Now, what does it mean? These truas, these trumpets, that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make. There were two silver trumpets Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make. What were they basically for? When Moshe Rabbeinu had to speak to the Jews, when Moshe Rabbeinu had to make a speech, you know, tell them of a new mitzvah that just came, he blew the trumpets. And as the Torah says, when he blew one, they gathered it. They blew two, they didn't get whatever. The amounts that the Torah says. So it says over there, it was gotten through by the trumpets. Moshe Rabbeinu had to blow a trua. Therefore it says, but the Torah uses the word uskatem trua. Tkatem is tkia. That means you blow a tkia and a trua. Tkia bifnei atzma, utrua bifnei atzma. You blow a tkia separately and a trua separately. Then it says, atem et tkia bifnei atzma, utrua bifnei atzma. You say you have to blow a tkia separately and a trua separately. Ayena, maybe it's not. Ela tkia trua achasi. Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe tkia and trua are the same note. How do you know tkia is one note and trua is another note? So he says, shu'emer, when it says in the pasuk, uvahakil esakol, when you gather the people together, tiska'u, you blow a tkia, v'loy tisra, you don't blow a trua. So what do you see from there? That tkia and trua are separate. Now the Gemara thought maybe tkia and trua are the same. So Gemara says, but you can't say that, because the Torah sometimes says blow a tkia and not a trua. So obviously it's not the same thing. It's different. Have a, what? I don't remember if it said, I don't know if it says anywhere what the sound was. The crying, the moaning, and the groaning. It's just that the Torah, again, Api Kabbalah is a lot of meaning, but in simple halacha, the Torah just says you have to blow a simple blast before. Meaning one long, no musical moaning or groaning or crying or whatever. It has to be a simple one before. In Kabbalah, there's a lot about it. But in the simple halacha, it's just derived from the pasuk that you have to blow a simple blast before and after each one. As we said, according to Kabbalah, we blow 100 sounds of the Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. If you count what we blow before Musaf, during the quiet Musaf, during the repetition of the Musaf. By the way, not everybody blows during the quiet Shemoneh Esrei. Most shuls don't, in fact. Chassidish shuls blow during the quiet Musaf, because according to Kabbalah, you do that. And then another 10 at the end. So altogether, we blow 100. Okay? Now, if you count the 100 sounds of the Shofar, and you break them down, how many tkiyas do we blow? How many shvarim do we blow? How many truas do we blow? It's 60 tkiyas, 20 shvarim, and 20 trua. 60, 20, 20 is 100. Now, according to Kabbalah, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot are interconnected. Except Rosh Hashanah is serious, and Sukkot is happiness. Now, if you take 60, 20, 20 in Hebrew, it's Samach, Chof, Chof, which is Schach. The Schach of the Sukkah represents the 60 Tkiyas, the 20 Shvarim, and the 20 Truas. Because Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot are all interconnected. It also corresponds with the 100 powers of the soul, because the Nefesh has 10 levels, and each one is composed of 10 levels. So it's 10 times 10. So, I mean, there's a lot of meanings in the sounds of the Shofar, in the purpose of the Shofar, what it accomplishes. You know, what Tkiyah accomplishes, what Shvarim accomplishes, but that will be for a different time.